He said to his disciples in verse 38, "Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest." Perhaps a little review of what we've talked about would be in order. In these past few days, we've talked about Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 and following. And really what I've been interested in is to see individuals like yourselves get into the process of inviting others to come to church. Jesus said that we ought to do that. He was busy about going all through the cities and villages in Galilee. That's one example of his ministry. And we learned that that ministry included going to people's homes to talk to them. I'd like to encourage you to do that, to invite others to come to church, to worship the God of glory. That's how this congregation is going to grow, one way anyway. And so, be encouraged to do that sort of thing. And we also learned that the Lord Jesus, seeing the multitudes in city after city, felt compassion upon them. Because as he looked at them, he saw that they were distressed and downcast. They were like sheep without a shepherd. There's a lot of people out there like that. Perhaps at one time you were one of those. So you know exactly what the Lord Jesus is talking about. I know I was one of those at one time. And I know very well what our Lord Jesus is talking about. And it's to those kinds of people who are distressed and downcast, who are like sheep without a shepherd, that we have the privilege of bringing invitations to come to worship, and invitations to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. We can recognize those people out there, can't we? I think we see them every day. And it's those people that I think you should be encouraged to invite, come, hear the word of the gospel. And Jesus also said in verse 37, we looked at that yesterday, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few." A great harvest out there. A lot of people. There's more work to be done than all the churches in Roswell put together can possibly do. Thankfully, here you are, as a group of God's people, able to do a part of that work. Well, if we look at it all, it can be an overwhelming task. Yes, it can. But if we look at just part of it, our part of it, some of those people out there, begin to work with them, we'll find that the harvest is plentiful when we get out there and look and see. That's what Jesus tells us. And because the harvest is plentiful and because he had compassion upon the people that he saw in city after city and village after village, he said to his disciples in verse 38, "Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send workers into his harvest." Let's look at those words. And let's not only look at them this morning, but let's see how they apply to you and to me. "Therefore, beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest." The basic exhortation is to pray. Pray. Beseech. Beg, if you will. Plead. It's a rather strong word which the Lord Jesus uses here in this context. You turn to Luke chapter 8, you see another place where the same word is used. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. Luke chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. I think this really gives you a flavor of how strong the word is. "And as they sailed to the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee, and when he had come onto the land, a certain man from the city met him, who was possessed with demons, and who had not put on any clothing for a long time, and was not living in a house, but in the tombs. And seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What do I have to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you." Do not torment me. Is that word? I beg you. You can imagine how that man was feeling when Jesus came along. Being demon-possessed, that man was. And he begged Jesus, "Do not torment me." He was in earnest. And that's what Jesus said we ought to be. In earnest. When we beseech the Lord of the harvest, we ought to pray earnestly. Look at Luke chapter 8, verse 38. But the man from whom the demons had gone out, now here's that man, delivered from that demon possession. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him, begging Jesus, that he might accompany him. But he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house and describe what things God has done for you." Here was the man now, once healed of his affliction, and wanting to go with the Master, and saying, "Lord, let me go. I beg you, let me go with you." Surely that man was in earnest also, wanting to go so much with the Lord Jesus. That's the kind of thing our Lord is talking about in Matthew chapter 9, verse 38. Beseech the Lord of the harvest. It's not a simple thing to do that. In fact, it can be a very difficult thing. It can be a very time-consuming thing. It can be a laborious thing. But that's what our Lord is talking about. Sometimes on matters we are concerned about, we literally pray for years for our loved ones, for our children. And that's what our Lord Jesus is talking about. Beseech the Lord of the harvest. Be in earnest, dear friends in Christ. Pray. Pleading. And to whom is the pleading directed? Yes, it's directed to the Lord of the harvest. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. It is God who is the owner and the ruler of the harvest of souls, which is out here. It is his harvest. We all know that, I think. Time and time again, we need to be reminded it is his harvest. We need to pray that God will send laborers into his harvest. Send out workers. Send out workers, Lord. Don't delay. We need those workers now. Send them out, he says. Pray that God will send them out. I really think this is kind of interesting. Because we have the tendency to feel that God ought to be polite in how he deals with us. But this word, again, is a very strong word. A very strong word. Throw them out into the harvest. Jesus says, pray that God will throw men and women out into the harvest. That's the kind of word it is. Expel them, in other words. Well, we wouldn't want to be expelled from school if we were a young person, but that's the kind of thing that Jesus is talking about. Be expelled from the confines of your church and your home and be thrust out into that harvest. An indication of how strong this word is comes to us in Matthew chapter 9, an earlier verse, verses 24 and 25, if you look at those. He began to say, "Depart, for the girl is not dead, but is asleep." And they were laughing at him. But when the crowd had been put out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl arose. Here is a situation where Jesus goes to a home, and there's a crowd there, and they're jeering and laughing at him, because he's saying, "The girl inside is not dead, but asleep." And they know very well she's dead. And Jesus says, "Put them out of the house." They are put out of that house. That's the kind of thing Jesus is talking about here. And in Matthew chapter 9, verses 33 and 34, we see something similar, at least as far as the worst use of the word is concerned. And after the demon was cast out, the dumb man spoke, and the multitudes marveled, saying, "Nothing like this was ever seen in Israel." But the Pharisees were is saying, he casts out demons by the ruler of demons. There is the same word again. He casts out demons. Jesus didn't say, well, it'd sure be nice if you went out, evil one. No, he cast them out. And they departed in no uncertain terms. And so Jesus says, therefore beseech the Lord of the harvest to cast out workers into his harvest. It's like throwing a net into the sea to catch the harvest of God. That's what he's talking about. Oh, and what are to be thrown out into the harvest? Workers. Workers. Laborers. Here's another strong word. A laborer is a field hand. One who's out in the sun, in the heat of the day, working the soil, a field hand, doing that kind of work which is physically demanding. Thrust workers out into the harvest, Jesus says. The prayer is for workers, isn't it? The prayer is not for more administrators. The prayer is not for more leaders. The prayer is not for more white-collar workers. The prayer is for more blue-collar workers. For workers, laborers. Not for chiefs, but for Indians. That's what's needed. Workers. And that's what the church always needs. The workers are few, Jesus says. And I think as we contemplate the task of the church, we will recognize that. But then it always seems to get narrowed down a little bit. When the work party is called for and the same individuals appear, the workers are few. We need to pray, Lord, thrust workers out into your harvest. The work is demanding. This weekend we've talked about doing house-to-house calling. We don't like to do that. It doesn't come to us naturally. Not for many of us, anyway. It doesn't come naturally for me. I have to get out there and do it. And talk to people. And then I get encouraged. And after doing it for a while, it becomes fun. You can enjoy it. You really can. Contrary to popular belief. But it is work. Because when you go to hundreds of homes, and then thousands of homes, that becomes work. But that's what Jesus calls us to do, to be workers in his harvest, to be thrown out into the harvest. And this means some things for us, doesn't it? It means working with other people around us, and encouraging them and inviting them to come to church, to be thrown out into the work of the harvest means to be thrown out into the work of finding people who are out in the world, who are distressed and downcast, who are like sheep without a shepherd. It means finding those people. And then once we find them, it means ministering to their needs. To be thrown out into the work of the harvest means to be thrown out into the work of presenting the gospel to others. To be thrown out into the work of testifying to that grace and that hope which is yours. That's what it means. This is what Jesus is talking about. Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Oh, dear friends in Christ, that's what you need to do. You need to pray. You need to pray that God will throw workers out into the harvest. You need to pray individually in your own prayer closets about that. And you need to pray in the church about that. You need to pray in your family devotions about that. The pastor needs to pray about that. And the elders of the church need to pray about that. Thrust out laborers into the harvest, Lord. Well, let's see what happened to the disciples. Let's see what Jesus did with the disciples when they were asked to pray that prayer. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Just have to drop down a verse or two. And having summoned his 12 disciples, he gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every kind of disease and every kind of sickness. Jesus summoned his disciples together. And then in verse 5 it says, these 12 Jesus sent out after instructing them. Jesus sent them out. Oh, my friends, do you know what the Lord did here? He didn't come to his disciples and say, would you be interested in going out into the harvest next week? How about Thursday afternoon? Will that fit your schedule? And can you possibly fit it in at that time? Of course, times were a lot different then than they are today. But Jesus didn't approach his disciples at all in that fashion. He gathered them together and he sent them out. And he said, this is what you're going to do. You're going to go out into the highways, into the byways, and you're going to compel people to come into the kingdom. You're going to preach the gospel. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to bring help to those who are in need physically. And you're going to bring help to those who are in need spiritually. And he sent them out to do that. How different it was. When we say, well, let's take it slow. Let's not ask them to do too much, these disciples of Christ. But Jesus didn't approach it that way. He sent them out. Jesus didn't expect the task to be easy. And he doesn't expect the task for us to be easy either. When he sends us out, we are thrown, as it were, as to the wolves. Isn't that what Jesus says? Look at our text. Well, he does say that, doesn't he? As sheep to wolves, I throw you out. And sometimes we feel that when we're out in the harvest field, that we're like sheep among wolves. But we need not fear, because our Lord Jesus says, behold, I am with you always, and he stands with us when he sends us out. Look at how drastic the means are sometimes in sending out the disciples. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. Look at that text, if you would, please. Acts chapter 7, verse 59. Follow it. Acts 7, 59. Acts 7, 59, and they went on stoning Stephen as he called upon the Lord and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And having said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was in hearty agreement with putting him to death. And on that day, a great persecution arose against the church in Jerusalem. And they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The Lord sent them out. In this particular case, he had to use very drastic measures, persecution. And when we read about this in our church history classes, we say sometimes the Lord does have to use drastic measures to get his disciples out into the harvest fields, and he does. He throws his disciples out there. Because it's not our nature very often to want to go out there. It's too comfortable at home. It's too comfortable in our church buildings. It really is. And I know that's the case. Jesus says, beseech the Lord of the harvest that he may cast workers out into the harvest. And sometimes he does use those very drastic measures. But now as we look at Matthew chapter 9, verse 38, turn back there if you would, where Jesus commands the disciples to beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. What happens to those very same disciples that Jesus says ought to pray? What happens to them? The very individuals whom Jesus asked to pray The very individuals whom Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will thrust workers out into the harvest, those very same individuals are the ones who are thrown out into the harvest. This is a dangerous prayer. I don't know if we're up to it or not. I think we ought to be warned. Because if we earnestly begin to pray that prayer, do you know what's likely to happen? We're going to get thrown out into the harvest. If you pray that prayer in earnest, the likelihood is that God is going to inject you into the harvest to do some work. Well, perhaps the lesson is that the place to start for all of us is to pray, to be in earnest with our God, to throw laborers out into the harvest, to send laborers out into the harvest. And I wonder if that is your earnest prayer. Oh, yes, there is that danger that you too will be sent by the Lord out there into the harvest field to do some very specific things for him, to minister to the needs of some very specific people. There is that possibility, and you must keep that in mind. But you know, my friends in Christ, if you do keep that in mind and you say, Lord, thrust out laborers into the harvest, and you begin to look for opportunities to serve others for the Lord Jesus Christ, how your life will be enriched because you are working in the harvest field, because you are bringing the gospel of peace and of grace to others, because you are helping them physically. How your life will be enriched, and how you will sense that you are blessed of God because he has seen fit to use you. When I look at my own life, I have to say, Lord, why in the world did you pick me? There's absolutely no good reason. Because as I look back on my own life, all I can see is a lack of qualifications and a lack of interest and a lack of zeal. But then the Lord really took me and thrust me into the work of his harvest. And how good it is. What a sense of accomplishment and ease and peace comes with that. Because we pray that prayer and God takes us and uses us. How can I encourage you enough? Beseech the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Each of you. Pray that prayer without ceasing. And I dare say, if we are in earnest about that, God is pleased to thrust some of you into the harvest as you pray that prayer. You will not only find personal fulfillment because you are acting out that great commission which God has given to us, but you will see the church blossom and grow and flourish. Are you willing to pray that prayer? Do it for Jesus' sake. Let's pray together now, shall we? Father in heaven, thank you again for your word. Thank you that you have called us together as your people, not only to be hearers of your word, but to be doers also. Grant, Father, that each individual here, each family here, and your church here might take the words of your Son, Jesus Christ, these words which we've talked about, and pray to you earnestly, Lord, thrust out laborers into your harvest. Do that, Lord. We recognize, Father, that as we pray that prayer, you may indeed take each one of us. How often we've sung the song, "Take me, Lord, make me and mold me after your will." Oh, yes, Lord, do it. Thrust laborers out in the harvest. And if you say, "Lord, yes," and if you say, "Lord, go," equip us that we might go. Do it, we ask, and hear our prayers, that your Son, Jesus Christ, might not only be glorified in our midst right here, but might be glorified in this city to a greater extent. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.